Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And ZD and I were just chatting before this. We both decided, we've come to a consensus that we just don't like whole grain pasta.
Yeah.
Right?
No. If I'm going to eat pasta, eat pasta.
Just eat. Yeah. Let us know what you think.
Well.
Do you like whole grain
and
pasta?
And you know, if you're looking for nutrition.
Yeah.
Because of the, or, you know.
Whatever.
Somehow trying to add nutrition because you're eating pasta. My solution is I put a lot of vegetables in my pasta.
Yeah.
Usually. I have a lot of food in my pasta.
Right.
I don't.
It's like a pasta
I
salad.
I rarely just do. I do. If I'm doing like just sauce and pasta, that's a side dish.
Right.
It's not a main dish.
Anywho.
Anyway.
Just let us know. Maybe you know of a brand of whole grain pasta.
Or if you make your own, it's probably good or something. But
oh, man.
We can't.
That, okay,
I've never found one
before?
That didn't. No.
Okay.
I've never found one that didn't taste like it had sand in it or something.
I've never found like a recipe for like making your own whole grain pasta.
Well,
bet it's actually
and a lot
hard.
Of times if you read the package, it doesn't say it's whole grain.
Uh-huh.
It says made from whole grain wheat and it looks a little brown.
Yeah.
So you have the impression that you're getting whole wheat pasta when all it is they just didn't clean up all, you know.
Well, we're right. That's
all
the
way.
Yeah.
Right.
Anywho. All right. Well, just thought we'd share that, start out on a little tangent. All right. We've got a couple of questions from the group that I thought would be really great to address. And the first one is, I have a funny story about this. So I'm laughing ahead
of
time.
Oh, my God. She's
laughing
at herself.
Laughing at myself ahead
And
of
we're
time.
All going to think this is hysterical because Mallory's laughing at herself.
Why is fabric knitted in the round?
Right.
Is the question. And Mom?
Well, and it's because it's knitted is one reason.
That's
yes,
right.
Thank
so
you.
If you've ever.
I mean, I know that much.
Okay. If you've ever knitted something, you know that it's faster to knit in the round by hand because you get to keep knitting.
Right.
Right?
Right.
If you want. Oh, my God. Now I'm afraid I'm going to say this wrong. Okay, so stockinette. Sam, edit, flip around the words if I screw this up, Sam. Okay,
yeah, because Sam knows more than about
Sam
knitting
knows,
than we do.
She knows her
stuff. She knows her knits.
About knitting. So stockinette stitch is where it looks like knitting all on the front. Okay.
Right.
Garter stitch, it's a knit row, a purl row, a knit row, a purl row, and that will be like super stretchy, spongy kind of stuff. Okay. So if you're knitting flat, you have to actually, though, you have to knit one row, you turn it over, and you purl that row so it looks like knitting on the other side. So it looks like that knitting the whole time on one side and purl the whole time on one side. But if you knit in the round, you just get to keep knitting, okay?
Right.
You never have to switch anything. So there are circular looms, and you may have seen these. You know, they make some for the home where you knit a hat by turning the little cranky
if
thing,
anyone
right?
Anyone is as old as me, mm-hmm. and they remember the little red spinning wheel. It was like spin and loop, and then you pull.
Now that's
spin
the
and
little
loop
one.
And,
yeah.
Yes, it was tiny. It made literally like snakes.
That's called
right?
I-cord.
Right.
In knitting,
but,
little itty bitty.
The knit looks the same all,
yep.
all the way around
exactly.
because you don't stop. You just keep doing that.
Exactly.
And it is tiny. It's like maybe you know.
It looks. They make them look like dolls, right?
Yeah,
they make dolls
like
doll,
wood dolls.
D-O-L-L.
No.
Like a doll.
No, dowel. I thought you meant dowels, like D-O-W-E-L.
No, that's not what I mean.
Didn't make a doll out
they
of
make,
mine.
No. The
oh,
loom
the
looks like
yeah.
a doll.
Yeah, yeah, the vintage looms. But in 1957, it was really funny because it was a whole little plastic spinning wheel.
Yeah.
And then that little gizmo, mm-hmm. whatever they called it. It had like two or three sizes, right? And you put it on the, you know, where it looked like the spin would have been.
Right.
Like on the, you know, the. And you turned the wheel and it spun.
Yes.
Like, and then you look.
Yes.
Okay. And then I figured out I didn't need the whole wheel.
Right.
I figured that out all by myself. I was only like 5 years old. But anyway. But I wanted one so badly.
Okay.
And I got it.
So.
Spin and loop, and then you pull.
So you may find online, you may find in a thrift store. I feel like this happens so much with people buying fabric in thrift stores for some reason. They're like, I found this fabric. It's a tube. What's going on?
Well, you know why they find it in thrift stores? Because nobody else knew what to do with
it. Yeah, they were like, oh, it's a... So don't be intimidated.
It confused other people, like, oh, I have to leave it in the round or something.
Yeah, exactly. So fabric could be knitted in the round for production, mm-hmm. right? So if you ever have gotten a promotional t-shirt that has no side seams...
It's been in the round.
It was a huge tube that then got cut up and sleeves were put on.
It's a huge tube. They chopped it up and then they made some armholes and a head hole.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So that's what happened. So that could be knitted for production. Now, if you come across, though, in the store where it's like, you know, it's really, really big.
And it's usually on a bolt.
Oh, I was talking about like a thrift store.
Or the thrift store. I don't know what it's on in the thrift store. Yeah, it's on a table.
What's it on in the thrift store?
It's on a table.
It's in a basket.
It's in a box full of other crap.
I don't know. Underwear around it. I know. Thrift store underwear. I mean, I know sometimes it's new because like some of our thrift stores get, you see like, oh, Target donated this unopened thing. You know, whatever. But sometimes they're not. So anywho, if you get yardage that's in the round like that, though, that it wasn't meant to be, you know, cut up and made into promotional t-shirts, just treat it like any other fabric.
Right.
And if you have to, you can cut it to make it lay flat.
Right. So if the circumference is not what you want it to be for the garment, like if you know, that tube doesn't fit around your body, like it can be too small or too big.
Right.
Right. You just cut it to make it a flat piece of fabric and go from there.
So if it's not the right circumference, you know, you cut it open to make it lay flat because maybe you have, you know, some piece that can't be cut on the fold like that or you know, whatever. So
sometimes you can just leave it in its tube and cut your pattern pieces out. Because you're discarding the folds.
Because you were doing it on the fold. So anyway, so you can do it like that. You can cut it open, you know, do whatever you want. Now, I do want to say, though, I think it was Fee Fabrics, and I think she is in our group. She's in the Self-Sewn Wardrobe group. She had some stuff that she was selling. She's like a custom fabric shop. But like, you know, these Facebook custom fabric shops will also source specialty fabrics sometimes. So it's not like they're specially printed. There'll be some kind of special like specification or something. And she was selling this circular knit that was really good for underwear, apparently. Like everybody just loved it for underwear. I got the impression at first, this is what I was laughing about before. I was like, wait, so is it like the perfect circumference for underwear so that you don't have to
So it's everybody's waistline?
Yeah, I was like, so you don't have to cut it or something? And I was like, oh, that'd be cool. This is weird.
This is where you realized you were embarrassed?
Oh, it's so embarrassing, everyone. I'm like, oh, well, you could eliminate like one of the side seams by keeping it. Like, by cutting it where the fold is. And I was like, wait, you can do that with, like,
anything.
Any fabric. I literally thought
she
for
was
a moment.
Really, she was trying to be really smart.
I was like, oh, well, it could work like this. And I'm like, oh, my God, Mallory, you're kind of an idiot. So, anyway, that fabric was knit in the round. But, like, what was special about it is not necessarily the nature of it being knit in the round. It was some kind of, like, she had, you know, sourced this fabric that I think it was that you could cut it and it wouldn't ravel at all.
Wow.
Some kind
a roll
of
roll or
like,
something. And yeah.
Similar to, like, you know, the laser cut
miracle,
or
miracle
anyway,
fabric.
So, you know,
so maybe you didn't have to bind the leg at all.
Yeah,
or
but
something.
Like what this meant to her customers, right. And she did the education eventually because I finally understood what was going on. Is that this fabric was, you know, knitted in a specific, like, you know, tech way that it was going to be, you know, really good for underwear, but it didn't necessarily matter that it was in the round. Like I thought, and I was like,
so everybody
oh,
can,
I could take
everybody
away one
now,
side seam.
Everyone now understands all about round fabric because Mallory had an embarrassing story about it.
Maybe this will help you.
And there's the little red spinning wheel.
Yes.
Spin and loop and
well,
then you pull.
And you're talking about the spinning wheel. I was talking about those little I-cord dolls. I think they are different things. And then you can buy those little
what Mallory's talking about. On the spinning wheel it had like, you know, these little circular things that had little prongs on it.
Yeah.
And you know, they made you think you were using the spinning wheel to do it. the traditional ones, they look like a doll. And often it's like their head has like four little prongs or six or eight little prongs coming out of it. And they're different sizes depending on the
doll.
They're
pooping out the I-cord.
Right. And it's going like down through their hollow body as it's being, you know, knitted in the round.
Which
and
this thing
out.
Maybe did start its life out as a dowel rod. And
yeah,
it would have to be a really big dowel rod.
But anyway.
Anyway. That's. So if you
we've had people say, "Oh, this was in my dead aunt's sewing thing. What is it?" And you're like, "Oh, it's part of a little red spinning
wheel." That is true. In the dead aunt sewing stuff, you find the little doll, and you also find the circular knit fabric that hasn't been touched.
You also can find these little gizmos in the store now too, and they're just a little plastic doodad that has prongs sticking up.
Doodad. That is a word I often miss in the spelling bee game, the New York Times spelling bee game.
How do you spell it?
D-O-O-D-A-D.
Right, doodad.
But like, I won't get it.
I won't get the word.
I'll miss it. You know what the other word that I used to miss a lot, which is so disappointing, is lanai. Like the Golden Girls have a lanai.
Yeah, like the patio.
Man, that's so off. That's so terrible. It's just like disgraceful that I'm missing the lanai.
It is.
Let's go out and have. They never really ate the cheesecake on the lanai.
No, let's have coffee
they
on the lanai.
Cheesecake was always in the kitchen. Yeah. Okay. That is why knit fabric exists that way. Don't be afraid of it. It's cool. A lot of times I feel like the knit fabrics in the round that I found in thrift stores or when people give us a bag of fabric, they don't have spandex in them.
Right.
They're just knitted like cotton or whatever. Yes. Now, I think what Fee Fabrics was selling there for a minute.
Probably had some spandex.
I'm so sorry if this is like old news. Like, I mean, this happened
a couple years ago. Totally wrong. Please, Fee Fabrics, tell us. Yes.
She had some, like, it was like nylon or poly that had some spandex.
But everybody was
in
liking it.
Yeah, people were raving about it. They loved it. Okay, well, let's take a quick break and come back and answer our second question from the group.
We'd like to welcome another yummy sponsor to the show, Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well.
Go to greenchef.com/100sewing. That's greenchef.com/100sewing and use code 100sewing to get $100 off and free shipping.
Sometimes you just need a little assist in the kitchen, and it's nice to be able to put a freshly cooked meal on the table in 30 minutes or less.
I was so excited for this podcast sponsorship because our samples came during one of the busiest weeks of this year, meaning one of the busiest weeks of the pandemic. One set of grandparents went on vacation, so I was without some of my midweek childcare. I was so happy to get a few meal kits delivered where everything was prepped for me or Derek to cook up. All the ingredients were pre-measured and perfectly portioned.
Green Chef is also sustainable, offsetting 100% of its direct carbon emissions and plastic packaging in each box.
Yeah, there was really no more plastic in that box than when I go on a normal grocery trip, which I know can be a concern for meal kits.
Green Chef has different plans to fit your lifestyle. Keto and paleo, balanced living, and plant-powered for our vegetarian and vegan friends. Share that special offer for our listeners again, Mallory.
Just go to greenchef.com/100sewing. That's greenchef.com/100sewing to get $100 off plus free shipping. Thanks, Green Chef.
Sewing out loud.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
And we're back.
Overcooked food.
We're back now. Okay. So Carly asked a question. I think that Carly is like from Kansas City. Carly, correct me if I'm wrong.
We need to Facebook.
I'll
Facebook
stalk her a little bit. Okay. Carly asks, Carly says, does anyone else continually ruin press cloths with tiny bits of interfacing that accidentally get fused on because they don't line up 100% with the pattern piece? Any tips on avoiding this? Thanks, sewing friends. Picture of my recent anniversary dinner date outfit so I don't get lost.
Really cute.
Super cute. It's a charm patterns pattern. It's like a vintage. She's got like beautiful flower in the hair.
It's real cute.
Absolutely gorgeous. Check it out. Okay, so you offered an answer to this.
Yeah, and I, you know, in answering it, honestly, I felt like saying, well, I don't use iron-on interfacing. But
we're not going to act like that.
But my answer should have, and may, I don't know that I said this, should have included anything that was fusible.
Yes, yes.
Okay? So if I'm fusing, and I have used iron-on things, especially like making a purse or something maybe, or applique, right?
Well, so I'm supposed to make this blazer. Yeah. How long have I been supposed to make this blazer? And it uses that fusible weft interfacing.
Yeah.
And I will be doing this, will be fusing.
The first rule is, and I don't know if she did this or not, and she could have, is you, if you're cut, I mean, okay, my, I may have to backtrack on this, but if I'm cutting two pieces and I want them to be exactly the same shape, I cut them at the same time.
Okay.
Okay. So this doesn't answer that question.
Okay, but that's
really.
This
is just something that you should be able to use over and over and over again. So if I'm using non-fusible facing, which is interfacing, or facing, I guess, but whatever. If I'm using non-fusible interfacing, that is how I cut my pieces. I will cut them at the same time. Right? Because then I am assured they are the same shape when I go to sew them. Mm-hmm. Right? And I leave them pinned together or hooked together, however, you know, tailor tacked together, however I have decided to keep them together.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because then I go to sew them. They match up. Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So because I haven't, you know, manipulated the fabric in order to match it up with the other piece and all this. Okay. So if I was going to use a fusible interfacing, I would take a piece of fabric that was just a little bit bigger that I could fit my pattern piece on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would take also, then I would also take my fusible interfacing and it would be a little bit smaller than that piece of fabric.
Right.
Right? So that when I put the glue side or bumpy side or textured side down, which is basically the glue, right, to the wrong side of my fabric, wherever I put my pressing cloth, it would probably not get glue.
Uh-huh.
Now, it's possible it would seep out the little edges. That is a possibility.
Yeah.
It is a but my interfacing wouldn't stick to it.
Right.
Just a little bit of glue. But I would also use a Teflon press cloth.
Yep.
Probably. That I could see through.
Yep.
Okay. And often you all know that I say for a press cloth, oh, I use cotton organdy that I can see through. And I do, but not when I'm using glue always.
Okay. The other thing here that I think Carly could benefit from, so she's saying that, like, this, okay, I'm envisioning it. I don't know.
Trying to paint the picture.
Sorry. Right. Yes. I would say to Carly, put a press cloth down on your ironing board.
Right.
Okay. And then you put the fabric
wrong side up.
Yep. I was going to say right side down. Uh-huh. Right side down, wrong side up. Mm-hmm. And then put the interfacing down and put a press cloth over it. So if anything, she's talking about little bits getting fused.
Yeah, and I don't call that piece of fabric that's on my ironing board, I don't really call it a press cloth.
Okay.
I might call that a guard cloth, and that might be made out of muslin.
Yeah, that's
versus my
crap.
It's like inexpensive and it can get crapped up and whatever.
Right.
Or sometimes, like if I have red fabric, I know when I press it with steam, the red's going to bleed out.
Yeah.
On my ironing board cover.
You want to protect it.
I will protect my ironing board cover by putting that piece of muslin on there.
If you put your guard cloth down, then you put your fabric down, wrong side up, and you put the interfacing.
Mm-hmm. With the glue side down.
With the glue side down.
Or the pebbly side or the textured side, however
it feels. And you put a Teflon pressing sheet over that.
Right.
You know, hopefully any spillover would only get on your guard cloth.
Right.
You know?
And if there's any glue that comes out from that and it gets on the Teflon, you just scrape it off with your fingernail.
So you get to scrape glue off Teflon with your fingernail. Yeah. Also, if you have a piece.
You barely have to scrape it. You just kind of take it off.
If you get like a piece of interfacing fused to your press cloth.
Yes.
You've got some options.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you could leave it there.
You can get a new press cloth.
You can
make your press cloth smaller.
Yeah. You could just leave it on there. Because, you know, when you activate that glue, you could try to reactivate it and peel the piece off, you know, and stuff. But, I think there are definitely ways to at least avoid getting actual pieces of.
Yeah. And I honestly think if you want to gift yourself with something or someone asks you what kind of gift you want two Teflon pressing cloths.
Two
of them are great, especially if you do a lot of things like applique that require.
Didn't we do that?
I think we talked about this once.
But didn't we do this?
But it's a lot of, you know, you're sandwiching between the two Teflons.
I think in a sew here box, I don't.
We
think,
did do Teflon pressing sheet, but I don't know what it was.
Okay,
in.
So what
I don't
was,
know what box.
No, what I was thinking is that we had done a box where there were two sheets in it, but what I think we did actually was like the first ever sew here box had a Teflon sheet in it.
Uh-huh.
And then in the refresh box, we put another one
put
in
another
it,
one.
And we were like, it's cool. You need
you
two.
Want two.
It's
right.
cool to have two. Maybe
and
we should do another box
and,
where
and,
we put
you know,
two in.
Well, and it's sometimes I've had like a big one and a small one.
Yes.
Like they come in different sizes.
Yes.
So that works too. Another thing you can use now, guys. I don't like it as well, but you know the like silicone-ish plastic cutting boards that are just paper thin?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking
about? Yes.
Well, actually, they're not paper. They're not cutting boards. They're
they're
the cooking sheets.
They are the pan liners. The
yes,
silpats.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, silpat.
You can iron on those.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
So sometimes that can go down on your.
Right. So the only thing about Teflon and
forget
silicone,
the cutting board thing. Sorry, I said that.
Yeah, just, yeah. I was like, no, wait a minute.
Yeah, I called it the wrong thing.
So the only thing about those is steam doesn't get through.
Does not escape.
It can't get down. You know, you put
that
over your thing, and the steam from your iron is just going to back up at you. So if you
This would be something, too, that you would not need steam with.
That's right. So that's what I'm saying.
Right. A product that doesn't call for steam.
If the product calls for steam, then you got to get on the steam train, and you need to use a pressing cloth that is cotton organdy or is muslin or something like
steam
that.
Steam breathable.
Yeah. So, you know, when you do.
Or the pillowcase in the hotel. Remember, everybody?
Pillowcase in the hotel.
If you're in the hotel,
yep.
You do not put that iron on your garment. You take that pillowcase off your pillow and you iron with that pillowcase between the iron and your garment because those irons are usually awful.
Amen. So if you do. The problem with this is when you're working with a commercial pattern, they'll give you a cutting layout for your main fabric. And they'll give you a cutting layout for your interfacing.
That's right.
Okay? And so sometimes when you're going to cut out your main fabric, you know, depending on how good of an instruction reader you are or how much you care or, you know,
or
whatever,
if you look at that at all.
Know, you may not be thinking ahead to, oh, this is an interfaced piece. Okay? So if you do want to kind of think about that, what I would do is, like, lay out my pattern pieces and cut everything out that's like not supposed to be interfaced.
Right.
And then you could go back and you could cut your interfacing and fuse it down and then cut.
Right. You can rough cut those facings.
Yeah, you could rough cut them out.
So that there's a border there,
yep.
You know, that is going to allow
you have to be careful with the recommendation I just did. Sometimes, like ZD said, interfacing pieces are smaller.
Right.
And so it's like the pattern maker has indicated a line on
That's one reason I don't like that kind of
interfacing.
Yeah,
we're just, it's just not our bag.
So if your
you know?
Interfacing is smaller and you don't catch it
in your seam,
okay, and this is laundered or dry cleaned a few times and that glue releases, which I guarantee you, the glue will release, okay? It might not be tomorrow. It might not be next month. But glue degrades, and actually bugs even eat glue, okay? Little bugs we can't see, like, you know, I can't think of any right now, but like, you know, things we have on our skin. But anyway, you know, the water, the heat, the detergent, light, everything degrades that glue.
Right.
Okay, so what can happen is then that interfacing releases itself. It may ripple, it may roll up inside.
Uh-huh.
You know, that it may come off depending on how this is made or, you know, whatever. So that's one reason I don't like the iron-on. And if you're a new sewer and you think it makes it easier or something, I'm not sure that's true.
Yeah, I just think that it's recommended so often. I mean, it's just like on the back of the pattern envelope. It's like you need this and you need this, you know.
Companies also sell fusible interfacing.
Well, that's true.
You know,
and
whatever.
What else do we use or whatever? You know, and so, I mean, we sell a lot of cotton organdy. You know, people, and people like
and
it.
And I have used fusible interfacing maybe like on a costume or something, you know. I mean, it has its purpose. I use a lot of fusibles for other things.
Right. Well, and this fusible weft interfacing that I'm using on this blazer, you know, and some like fusible knit interfacings, it's like they are also fabrics.
Do they? I guess my other question is, are you sewing it into the seam?
Yeah, you're going to sew it into the seam and all this stuff. So anyway, you know, there are different, but I hope that if you invest back up in the Teflon pressed sheets, you know, we're like, oh, Teflon pressed sheets. Those are things that last forever. You have to lose it or you have to cut it up, you know, or some kid has to cut it up. I mean, that is a sewing.
I usually lose it, but which is really good because then I have four Teflon pressing sheets.
That can be useful.
Or you can give one to a friend.
Well, or what, you know, I sewed through that Supreme slider.
Or you can bake with it.
You know, I sewed through that Supreme slider.
Yes.
Okay.
And we still used it.
And then, of course, you can still use it. And then it can be used, I said, to make your machine more vinyl friendly or more anything sticky friendly, leather friendly. And then Baby Lock came out with that, like, black machine guard to put on your machine when you're embroidering so that your hoop doesn't end up scraping the crap out of your, you know, out of your...
It will scar it.
Yeah, it can scar it. You know, some people out there...
And I don't know if everybody knows what the Supreme slider is, but it was a piece of... I don't know if it was Teflon.
It's Teflon that has a grippy back.
Yeah, and it has more... It's beefier than the pressing sheet.
Yeah.
And it has a hole... Only for your needle hole, okay?
Yeah.
So it even goes over those presser feet, even though feed dogs, even though they're dropped, you know, it makes that an even area where nothing can get. So you can do all this free motion and everything. Now,
unless
you want to use your feed dogs and you're using like vinyl or something, then you cut the hole bigger.
Well,
we
I was
going to
say, unless you sew through it.
Right.
And then
unless
you
sew
it,
through
you
it,
know,
and you use it for other things. Right.
Well, and even if you cut out the feed dogs, okay. Cut out a hole for the feed dogs, and then you use it for free motion.
It's still better.
It's still pretty good because it's helping it not stick to your machine.
Sliding to all the other parts, right?
This is a tangent that has to do with sewing.
Mm-hmm.
You can also
cut a piece of it and put it on the bottom of a presser foot.
Yeah.
And it gives you like
make
a Teflon presser foot.
Teflon presser foot kind of hack there, you know. In the back of the Supreme slider, it's that grippy
it's
rubber.
It's a stuff that, like, you rinse it off and it gets sticky again after too much dust gets on it.
It's like
what
the
that
actual,
really is.
It's like whatever the opposite of Teflon is, right?
Yeah.
It's
like sticky side, non-sticky
this
side.
This is the thing that is so slick that nothing can stick to it. And then this is the thing that
where
is...
Where the dust in the air sticks to it.
Yeah, exactly. So where things you didn't even know were there stick to it. And it's not actually, like, gummy. It's that the
it's
surface
a, like it's a
is,
rubber grip.
Yes. Grippy. So anyway, take that into account. Don't iron on your Supreme sliders.
No,
that is not recommended. Or on your cutting boards.
That's right. That CD told you to.
Don't iron on your. Oh, CD told me I could.
No.
My cutting
it's
board.
The baking sheets.
The Silpat.
It's the silicone baking sheets or whatever they're called.
Yeah. No, they're not. Yeah, Silpat's a brand name. And that's what they say on all the food on Top Chef.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's what they say.
Oh, okay.
All right, everybody. So that's a little answer to why fabrics are knit in the round and a little information about avoiding messing up your pressing sheets. But well, keep in mind, your pressing sheets are meant to be messed up. Well, you know, right?
And the other thing is, I was really kind of happy to hear how many people sort of, you know, were saying the same thing basically as I was, is cut those two pieces as one.
Yeah.
You know, fuse it first and then cut it, because I just saw another thing that said, oh, I got my facing on crooked and it doesn't come to the edge on wobbly, you know, and I'm like, she didn't read that thread.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Well, that's why we have the podcast. That's why there's everything. Okay, everybody, thanks for listening to the podcast. We've really been enjoying answering your questions, and people have been responding in the group, so just, you know, keep them coming. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.